You are listening to The Weekend Chapter on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It is still The Weekend Chapter right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. So, as promised, we are jumping straight into Healthy Living Made Easy. And, you know, this is a program where we discuss everything health with none other than our resident doctor, Dr. Charles Hleza. Of course, last week we did touch on a very, very, very important topic, that was hypertension. So this week we are continuing, and we're going to be tackling yet another condition that is affecting a lot of people. That is diabetes. Yes, diabetes is very, very much popular, should I say, affecting a lot of people nowadays than ever before. So Dr. Hleza is going to be talking to us about culinary medicine and diabetes. So let me not waste time and welcome the man to the show. Dr. Hleza, thank you so much for coming through to the show.
Thank you so much, Mao. To transform someone else out there for better health as far as healthy living made easy.
So healthy living made easy, Doc. We've touched on a number of topics so far. Like I said, last week we did touch on hypertension, and this week we're back with the subject that is diabetes and culinary medicine. Diabetes, of course, being a condition that is very prevalent in today's age. So I guess my first question is, what exactly is culinary medicine, and how exactly does it differ from simply dieting for diabetes?
Okay, so culinary medicine is an evidence-based approach that combines nutrition science, medicine, and practical cooking skills to help prevent and manage disease through everyday food. So, at culinary medicine, it's a branch of medicine that has been studied, that has been researched, that anyone else can implement those principles, even if they didn't go to a culinary medicine school. These are some of the principles I'm going to be sharing with you. Unlike traditional dieting, which often is restrictive and temporary, culinary medicine focuses on understanding how food affects the body, learning healthier cooking methods, building sustainable eating habits, enjoying culturally appropriate meals, using food therapeutically without using pleasure in eating. And in the context of diabetics, it is not just about avoiding certain foods. It is about creating balanced meals that improve blood sugar control, reduce inflammation, support weight management, and improve overall health. That's what, in summary, culinary medicine is.
Okay, so you did say that it's not only about avoiding sugar, but it's also about how the food is prepared. So how exactly does one prepare food for it to be considered culinary medicine?
Okay, yeah. So now, picking up on the concept you've just brought in, because one of the things that most people say they want to avoid is sugar when it comes to diabetics. But at the end of the day, the question really is, sugar is important. We need sugar in the form of glucose for us to be able to have the energy, for one to be able to think and do activities. But now the main concern is habits around what form is the sugar being taken. That's where mainly the concern is, because when you're talking about diabetes, we are talking type 2 diabetes mellitus, which is the most common diabetes, where one has got insulin, but the sugar is not getting into the cells, and it's only remaining in the blood. So when we check their random blood sugar or fasting blood sugar is high, and the person is tired, but they've eaten. So when we are looking at the carbohydrates, we are mainly talking about the source of the sugar, that it has to come from complex carbohydrates. Why complex carbohydrates? Because these carbohydrates come with fiber. They come with other nutrients that help in the metabolic pathway of blood sugar control. For example, the fiber makes one to feel full when they've not eaten so much, but they've gotten the right calories, they've gotten the right sugar their body needs. At the same time, it comes with nutrients like zinc, like magnesium, like chromium, picolinate, which are used up in the metabolic pathway of metabolism or the utilization of the sugar from the carbohydrate itself. So when we're talking about complex carbohydrates, we are talking of unrefined carbohydrates. We are talking of whole grain maize meal, which is usually straight run. We are also talking of sweet potatoes with their skin. We are talking of yams with their skin, pumpkin with their skin. We are talking of buckwheat. We are talking of small grains like sorghum, millet, etc. But of course, it all depends also on availability and one's capacity to buy certain foods at the same time with the blood sugar levels. So if we are going to take the maize seed, the skin that sometimes people remove when they've boiled maize to eat as boiled maize, that skin, that's where we have the fiber. Just underneath the skin, that's where we have most of the nutrients, like the minerals, the vitamins, such as zinc, magnesium, chromium, that are utilized or that are essential in the metabolism of blood sugar. We are also looking at portion size. And on portion sizes, we are looking at, on average, the plate for one who's got diabetes mellitus should, a quarter of the plate, that's where the complex carbohydrates should fill up as far as carbohydrates are concerned. And other principles to deal with culinary medicine when it comes to dealing with diabetes is, apart from avoiding refined carbohydrates as discussed, one also needs to avoid sugary drinks and drink more of water, drink of certain teas, as well as drink certain beverages that do not have added sugars or that have got natural sugar but in a low glycemic index. Another principle under culinary medicine is eating slowly. In other words, one should sit down at the table. When they've sat down on the table, they are supposed to have a conversation with their meal. Their phone should be upside down. They should not be checking their TikTok messages or social media messages, Facebook, WhatsApp, or watching television at the same time or typing something on the computer. They should have a conversation with their food, chewing their food well. This helps the body to identify that we have taken enough food. It's not too much, and it's not going to cause a spike as far as glucose levels are concerned. So if one eats too quickly, they are bound to eat more than what their body. Then the last two principles as far as culinary medicine is concerned is to have regularity as far as meal timing is concerned. This is very, very important. So there should be a set time for breakfast, a set time for lunch. For diabetics, it is recommended for them only to have 2 meals a day. Having breakfast being the main meal of the day. And of course, this is for someone whom we are monitoring and we have seen their blood sugar levels, what they are like. For some people that may have a tendency of having low blood sugar levels at night, they may have to take a third meal. But above all, 2 meals should be able to be sufficient enough if one follows the principles of culinary medicine. And then late night eating, especially heavy meals, will then worsen overnight glucose regulation. So these culinary medicine principles that I've just shared with you on diabetes have also been approved by the Diabetes Prevention Program by the CDC, Center for Disease Control.
Okay, so I guess it is very, very important that this discussion is centering upon food. So we cannot talk about food without really mentioning about the preparation of food. So my next question is, how important is preparation of food, because there are different types, you know, others boil, others fry, others roast, or even steaming is also part of preparation of food. So when it comes to the management of diabetes, how important is a particular type of preparing food?
Definitely. So healthier cooking methods include the following, but not limited to: number one, steaming. Steaming is using very little water when cooking vegetables so that they maintain their color and not change color. If you buy broccoli and the color is green, after cooking in your plate, it should be green. The same with green veggie, leafy vegetables like kovo and mustard greens or spinach. The same with carrots, the same with broccoli and cauliflower, which is white. So this is only done through steaming. So vegetables are not supposed to be boiled, and they're not supposed to change their original color when you picked it from the garden or from the supermarket, but they've been cooked. One method to preserve nutrients and the properties that are in those vegetables is steaming. Another one is boiling. So boiling can be done for the harder, coarser vegetables as well as some grains. And then light roasting is something else that can be done as well, starting with a little bit of water, adding a little bit of oil, and then light roasting or stir frying. Then grilling with minimum oil is also very good. And then for those who like French fries, deep fat fried foods, which I would highly discourage, the option for that would be baking. So the same potato chips can be baked in the oven with very little oil without immersing the food in the oil. Almost everything that people usually dip in boiling cooking oil, it can be baked in the oven. It can be grilled and then still have the same texture and taste and actually maintain a healthy diet. So these methods preserve nutrients, reduce excess unhealthy fats that then plugs up the pathway in which the blood sugar is supposed to be metabolized in the cell. Just to give you a summary of what this unhealthy fat does, let's say, for example, Malvin, you have just left the house to go to visit the shops. On your way back, you find that your front door, the key, or there's a child was playing and there's a put bubble gum in there and put in your key to go in there. What would you do to put the key there so that you manage to put your key so that it opens the door?
So first of all, I'm going to have to find a way to remove this bubble gum.
Definitely. So the bubble gum, when it comes to a diabetes type 2 case, is like those unhealthy fats, the saturated fats, they clog up and compete up with receptor sites on the cell wall or on the cell wall membrane of the muscles and plug up those keyholes where the insulin, like a key, is supposed to unlock to allow glucose into the cell. So when we use the healthier cooking methods that I've mentioned, there's not going to be a lot of that is competing with the receptor sites such as cholesterol and saturated fats that then compete on the receptor site for the glucose to go in the cell. Then the less healthy methods that clog up and plug up those particular receptor sites, which then cause the key, which is the insulin that helps to unlock the cells to allow the glucose in to have challenges, it's deep fat frying. So deep fat frying needs to be avoided because it increases calorie dense, promotes inflammation, it worsens insulin resistance, increases cardiovascular risk, that is the heart-related and circulation-related diseases. For example, boiled sweet potatoes are healthier than deep fat fried sweet potatoes or Irish potatoes. Steamed vegetables are preferable to heavily fried or heavily boiled vegetables. So cooking methods can significantly influence glycemic response and metabolic health.
Interesting right there, Doc. Interesting. Thank you so much for laying out some of the ways that we can use to prepare our food and so that it remains healthy. So, of course, let's say one of the most difficult seasons in life is when something, you've just been diagnosed with something, okay, during the early days. Let's say for someone now who's just recently been diagnosed with diabetes, what are some of the first practical changes you'd recommend in, especially in the kitchen, you know, or their daily meals?
Okay, so let's conclude this on the SMART acronym. So one then on SMART, for example, can say, to make an example of a SMART principle that one can use, we just had a recent diabetes diagnosis is when it comes to culinary medicine. I am going to add more vegetables up to half a plate of my 3 meals out of 7 meals in a week. And of these vegetables, they're going to add broccoli, cauliflower, and mustard green or spinach. So what this person has done, they have actually been specific on the dietary principles we have discussed. They have chosen to focus on half the plate of vegetables. That's being specific. But they've also chosen for it to be measurable. So they are going only to use half a plate of the vegetables. Not only that, but it's also time specific because they have chosen 3 days out of 7 days of a week. It's also realistic because this person, they have chosen broccoli and cauliflower because it's winter. These are going to be more affordable and readily available. At the same time, it's attainable because it's going to be more affordable during the winter season because where they are, those particular kind of vegetables are available. So that's being smart as far as the choices are concerned when it comes to food choices on culinary medicine for supporting diabetes.
Wow. No, thank you so much for such an inside talk. But look, when it comes to food, I understand it can also be tricky in the sense that in as much as food, even our traditional food is very, very important to this culinary medicine. You know, there are some foods that are recommended. And then there are also others that also should be taken in moderation, or whether maybe we can say, people should eat with should be a bit more careful when they eat. Maybe if you can just give us an outline of some of those food, the ones that are the type of food that is recommended, and then the type of food, even traditional food, that we need also to be, you know, to be a little wary of.
A helpful traditional foods that are high in fiber, like millet, sorghum, round nuts, cowpeas, beans, ground nuts in moderation, sweet potatoes, pumpkin and the pumpkin leaf and different types, they are very good because they digest more slowly. They improve satiety, which is the relation between one meal and the next. They support the gut health. They reduce rapid glucose spikes. But then the food one to eat more carefully is refined white starter, which is almost like a traditional, in quotation marks, which has also become like a staple diet in Zimbabwe and some other parts of Africa, including in SID. So large portions of refined white sadza is not good. And then at the same time, offals, as we mentioned in our previous discussion, all offals, the industry, different portions that are found in the insides of the animals. Usually that's where the fat is stored there. And then we also recommended beverages. That is, there are certain alcohol beverages. Those ones are a no-go area. They should be avoided at all. At the same time, even the ones that are sold that are not traditional but have been modernized also should be avoided. Some sugary drinks that are made from overnight, leftover white refined sadza or pap, which usually is called maheu here in Zimbabwe, those also should be avoided. And so the issue is often not the traditional food itself, but portion size, refinement, preparation method. unless if we are talking of the offals. And of course, we have got some other traditional foods which I did not mention, like mushrooms, wild fruits, like the baobab, different types, tremenya. All those are very good and should be included in the diet.
Mm, all right. Now, that's beautiful. That is beautiful right there. So, of course, beyond food, Doc, you find that diabetes, you're usually told of things like stress, sleep, and also physical activity. How do these things, work together with nutrition in managing diabetes?
Okay, thank you for that. So when it comes to stress, we are looking at beyond food itself. Diabetes management is also affected by stress, because stress can cause someone not to be able to make the right choices, even though they are aware of the knowledge that we have talked about. So chronic stress can increase cortisol, which raises blood sugar levels. Despite that, one is chosen the right foods, they're following the right culinary medicine principles. Cortisol is a hormone that then gets increased in the body and it raises blood sugar levels. So sleep, poor sleep contributes to insulin resistance, increased hunger, weight gain, and poor glucose regulation. So that's very important for one to have adequate sleep, because then that will also reduce their stress levels. And then physical activity, of course, such as going for exercise in the morning and in the evening, and a post-meal or post-prandial exercise or physical activity, which improves insulin sensitivity. It helps muscles use glucose efficiently, supports weight management, and reduces cardiovascular risk. And when one goes for physical activity, I think we talked about it in one of our sessions, it produces what we call feel-good hormones that then reduces tension and stress. At the same time, when one is going for a walk, when they were tense before, when they come back, they feel relieved because of that particular exercise. So laughter medicine recognizes that nutrition, sleep, management, stress, relationships, and emotional wellness all work together with culinary medicine as far as better management of glucose in diabetes is concerned.
Now that's beautiful. Now that's very, very beautiful. So finally, Doc, as we conclude, if our listeners could remember just one key principle about culinary medicine and diabetes after this discussion that we've just had, what would you want that message to be?
So the message simply is, eat more of traditional food in small contents or small quantities twice in a day, and go for a digestive walk afterwards. And always remember, you are not only what you eat, but you are what you choose to eat, what you digest, what you assimilate. At the same time, you are not what you don't choose to do.
You are not what you don't choose to do. Now, that's strong right there. Coming through from our doctor, that is Dr. Charles Slezer. He's just talking about culinary medicine and diabetes. As we are just continuing with this Healthy Living Made Easy series that has been very, very beautiful, very, very helpful, to us health-wise. So, which leads me to thank our Dr. Charles Slezer for coming through once more to the Weekend Chapter. Thank you so much, Doc.
You are most welcome, Mav. Thank you so much for the invitation and for hosting such an important program that empowers people to live healthier and stay strong.
Of course, empowering people to live healthier and stay strong. That's what we do right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.